Why are businesses turning to fractional resources to become more competitive? With the rise of the gig economy and a new desire for versatility and flexibility, fractional resources are the new solution.
Well, our guests, Anne Humes and Chris Chiodi, they're here to break down what fractional work really is and why it's becoming essential for small businesses and large companies alike. And with that, welcome back to the From Illumination to Innovation podcast. I am your co-host, Shaniqua Brown, the president and founder of Elevated TA, a premier hiring partner for the public sector.
And I am your co-host, Stephanie Crane, also corporate mystic, and I am the owner of Tapas Innovation. And today we are extremely excited to be talking about a really, I think, both something that's on the rise, but also something that's been sort of like a hidden secret for some time for how small businesses can really accelerate their growth.
Forgive me, because it's kind of like the gig economy has expanded into corporate. You know, so it's creating newer opportunities for corporate, like those in corporate.
Yeah.
In the workforce. White collar. There we go. I was going to figure it out. But like, I'm curious if like what you thought or your thoughts across, like, is it possible to get more like experience work out of fractional work? Is it because employers don't want to take on the burden of full-time employee? Like, what's your take?
You know, for me personally, I actually became a fractional chief marketing officer when I left the corporate world about 12 years ago. That's what I did for the first 7 years of independent business. I was an independent consultant. And my impetus for wanting to do it, I had been in the corporate world for about 25 years. I had lots of experience in all different types of industries. And I really just wanted to help people that needed my level of expertise, but I knew would not be able to afford it, you know, period. And I really also enjoyed, for myself, I enjoyed diversity. Yeah. So I really like enjoyed working with different organizations and different projects and people and industries. All those things were exciting for me. So,
I mean, I'm glad you said that, because that was similarly, that was my reason for wanting to transition into more of a fractional capacity. I was looking for the diversity of work and like different like problems to solve or challenges that you run into across various industries or even companies. So I think it is like, it sounds like it could be a win-win for both the company and the individual.
I'm very curious to see what our guests might have to say about this topic.
Well, today we're going to glean the benefits of fractional work with Anne Humes and Chris Chiodi, who are transforming business partnerships by offering a full range of fractional services that deliver results. So we're going to take a quick break and bring them back on. And we're back with our guests, Anne Humes and Chris Chiodi. And it's so awesome to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us again. Would you be willing to give us an update of what's been happening with the Inflection Point business and how you and Chris crossed paths?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And thank you again for having me back. I love doing this. I love talking about the things that I'm working on, because I'm pretty excited about it. Let's see. So what has been going on with Inflection Point business? Clearly, I've been working with clients and helping them really turn their business around, and helping them navigate through what that looks like. And it's kind of two-sided. There's the, you know, there's the business side. There's kind of the components of the business and, you know, all of the machinery that goes into that. But then there's also the intangible side. And that's some of the emotional work and some of the belief work. And so to be able to work on both sides of that with a client, I think is just, you know, I think I get as much out of it as they do, maybe, because you see that growth, you see that, you know, you see that willingness to change and become something new, become the possibility that you didn't realize was even there. So that's kind of what I've been working on. And Chris and I met in a networking group. We both joined a networking group together and sat down. Chris invited me for coffee and we sat down and started talking. And it was just, I think it was, we realized that we just had a lot of commonality, a lot of synergies, a lot of similar experiences. And from there, we just kind of kept like, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And just kind of edged into this idea that I don't want to take all of the excitement away. I want Chris to talk about it a little bit too. But, you know, edged into this idea of a partnership where we can leverage each other's strengths and capabilities in a way that I think will make our impact for business owners even greater. So
sounds a lot like Stephanie and I.
I know. I'm thinking like, no, Shaniqua and I don't relate to that at all. So Chris, I'm curious, tell us a little bit about yourself in general, just to kind of introduce yourself to our audience and then maybe segue into where Anne was headed with that discussion.
Sure. Long story short, I'm Chris Chiodi. I started my career in the restaurant industry. I got put in charge of expanding a chain of Japanese sushi restaurants. And so that was kind of where I cut my teeth in business. And very intense, very grueling work. We opened 10 locations in 2.5 years. I was in charge of opening 7 myself. I'm doing everything start to finish, from filing for the permits, working with the architects, contractors, building out the restaurant, hiring and training the employees, and then running the restaurant. And so every 3 months I was doing that brand new restaurant opening. So after 2 years, I was kind of burnt out.
Yeah, sounds like it.
As you might expect. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go start my own thing. I think I have enough of a master's in business now to go do that.
Literal training by fire.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I got together with a college buddy of mine, and we were exploring a business in the cannabis space. And this was 10 years ago. So at the time, the cannabis industry, as a sort of highly regarded business, was very nascent, right? Most people didn't really think of it that way. So we sought to elevate the experience of the consumer, while also disrupting how the industry engaged in this kind of business, and also how they did the transactions, right? Because before that, it was sort of like hush hush, you know, kind of very discreet. And one of the things we did was we started a cannabis delivery service in Los Angeles, and for us, it was all about elevating the experience. So our drivers would dress in suits, they would deliver in a nice gift bag, and passersby would be none the wiser, right? So discretion was a priority. And the least talked about thing, which I have to say that at the time, was going into a cannabis shop was challenging for women, because in Los Angeles it'd be down the stairs in the back corner in a dungeon someplace, and you know, you're going by yourself, hopefully not. And it's just really uncomfortable. And then you have these men who work in the shop who are 6 feet tall, and you don't really know them, and they're kind of flirting with you. And it's just a really uncomfortable experience. So one of the things we sought to kind of overturn was just that, right? Just that whole uncomfortableness. And it doesn't matter if you're male or female, that experience can be uncomfortable to begin with. So for us, that was a huge priority, making sure that our customers felt comfortable engaging in that kind of transaction. Fast forward, we ran the company for about 4 years. I'm not a consumer. So for me, I wasn't really excited about the regulatory changes going on in California at the time. And my partner had some personal situations where he had to step away from the business. So we thought, you know, I think this is time, the writing's on the wall. Let's get out of this thing. So we sold the company And the cautionary tale I like to give, which is kind of related to what we're talking about today, is we didn't really do it the right way. We didn't hire anybody to help us. Half jokingly, I like to say that we felt like we watched enough Shark Tank to know how to do it ourselves. it just wasn't done right. So going forward, I just thought, you know, if I ever get into the situation where I have to sell a business, I have to be sure to bring somebody in who knows what they're doing. So after that, I kind of bounced around a little bit, got involved in a few different industries, hospitality. I ran a creative agency for a couple of years. I ran a hotel for a couple of years. And finally, about during COVID, I thought, you know what? Let me go help other business owners, because that's the thing that I feel like I can contribute. That's the value I want to contribute. So kind of like you, Stephanie, I started independent consulting. Right. And funny enough, at that time, I didn't view myself as a fractional person. Right. I just thought, you know, I have this experience in business operations, business development. Let me just go help other business owners and share with them what I know and what I can do. And funny enough, I had a client who said, you know, we need an ops director, but we don't need a full time. And I said, yep, that's me. So I'll come in and it. Great opportunity, because I don't want to be full-time. I like the variety. Everything you said was like, you know, we were connected there. And that's kind of just how I got into it. So I ended up landing a client who, funny thing was, they said, I need an ops director to come in to help me restructure the business so that I can exit. And I was like, okay, sure. You know, I'll help, right? And I didn't really think twice about it, but about a year into that engagement, bells were ringing. I was like, ding, 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 wait, exit, fractional, right? And so I decided to pivot my practice completely and focus specifically on business owners that were looking to exit.
Mm-hmm. Very smart.
And so that's what I've been doing for the past year and a half. And when I met Anne, you know, we were both kind of, we were both traveling down different trajectories, but eventually our paths were going to cross. Mm-hmm. And so finally, when we met, we kind of had this discussion about, well, what's been your experience? Well, here, blah, 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 right? We got to know each other a little bit. And then we started talking more, because we started commiserating about the things that clients were struggling with. And for us, the thing that we saw that was common was clients hire experts to come in, but for some reason, they don't think that the experts should talk to each other. Right.
That's so smart. You're so on point with that.
Well, let's hold that thought, because we have some questions to dig in deeper about that.
Yeah.
So that was the main thing. And then the other thing was, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could just get everybody in a room and then just hash this out and then really add value to a client's business? And so Anne's perspective of kind of helping clients with turnaround, and then my perspective was helping them with exit. It was sort of like a no-brainer, because either you're going to turn the business around and you're going to continue growing it, or you're going to look at the way at sort of like the next chapter, right? How do I get out of this thing now that it's turned around? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's kind of where we are now.
All right. Well, Anne, I have a follow-up question to that, because because right now, like what you said, Chris, like at the time, fractional wasn't like the term to use at that point. So I'm curious, Anne, like, since fractional professionals have been on a rise and like businesses see them as like game changers, I think there's like 65% of companies that plan on increasing their reliance on contingent workers in the next 2 years. Like, what do you think is driving this trend of fractional work?
You know, it's a really good question. I think there's a couple of things that come to mind for me. One is, I think that there's a large community of people who have like a wide breadth of experience, right? They aren't, you know, just HR, you know, business partners or simply marketer, right? They've got this amazing skill set that's really broader than what a company needs. They just kind of need to pull something off the shelf, and they can leverage that. And I think that that community of people, you know, and I think of them, I think they're similar to me, and kind of, you know, I think about like, you know, generation or age bracket. They're looking for, they're not necessarily looking to climb a ladder. They're looking to offer value back. And, you know, so this idea that, you know, I just remember hearing this years ago, you know, hire the attitude, rent the experience is something that I think, you know, corporations have kind of, you know, that's been around for a little while. But they did it in the model of the FTE employee, of the full-time equivalent employee, right? They just modeled it. They just said, okay, well, let's just bring in a consultant and we'll just place them for 40 hours a week or what, you know, whatever the standard is, and just have them do some work. And so that's a time-based model, and that's kind of goes back to the industrial age. But I think if you flip it and you look at it from a value-based model, it's like, what is the value that this person can offer? And maybe they can offer that value in three hours a week, or maybe it does take, you know, the 40-hour work week. But, you know, really looking at what is the value that they can offer, not necessarily like, can we put them in a seat for and just, you know, have a slightly different tax structure with regard to how we pay them. So I think that those are some of the things that are driving it, right? So there's there's a lot of people out there with the skills. There are a lot of businesses that I think need these skills. And I think one of the things that Chris and I are working on is trying to help businesses realize that they need it. I think sometimes businesses kind of, you know, operate in an echo chamber. They're not really thinking broadly, because the business owners are so stuck in the day to day that they don't, you know, they just don't pull back and go, wait, you know what? I could solve this in an easier way. So that's one of the things that Chris and I are really working on, is trying to help businesses and business owners realize that there could be a better way, and there could be, you know, things could have a lot less friction,
you know, in their day. Shaniqua, one of the things, like when you ask what, you know, is driving out of the shift, and for me, I came out of the technology industry. I worked a lot in the technology spaces. And I think in the technology industry for a long time, not just recent, but for a long time, they're a lot more comfortable with, you know, they hire contractors. I think a lot of organizations, even small companies, probably had like fractional tech people before fractional was really a thing, because you couldn't really afford a full-time networking guy, or you couldn't really afford to. So I feel like that's sort of where it was born, was in that tech space, because you had more fluidity and all of that. And then it grew into these other professional roles, you know, where, you know, you're at these higher levels of the organization. We're talking about operations or marketing, or, you know, overall business valuation or whatever it is. But that's just one thing that like struck me while she was speaking, while Anne was talking about that, was like, you know, back in technology, we always had fractional employees. We always had, like, you know, in part contractors, in part, and there was a comfortability with it that I don't think exists in normal corporate spaces. You know, corporate likes everything to be in the box and structured, and, you know, so.
I add a thought to that as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're spot on, Stephanie, about it's kind of this fractional thing starting in tech space. And I think what ended up happening is after a while, you have these startups where it's founder-led. It's a team of four technical founders. They're really good at the engineering, the software, the programming. None of them have any business experience. So if I'm a VC coming in, I'm like, I don't know if I want to invest in you guys, because you don't have a biz dev person. You don't have an operations person. How are you going to get this thing off the ground? Right. And so then you kind of go out and you're like, oh, well, let's go find somebody. Maybe we can rent somebody. Right. For 10 hours a week to come help us do that. And so, you know, it just snowballed. And then more VCs are like, oh, wow, we need to really get these fractional folks in. And then this ecosystem just kind of takes on a life of its own, right?
That makes so much sense. Chris, like, while we have you, because I saw on your LinkedIn the exit COO. And so you've seen how, like, flexibility impacts a company's growth, with 80% of companies already utilizing a various type of temporary workers. How do fractional professionals like fit into, maybe you could continue elaborating on this, but like a sustainable business model for, you know, that growing company?
Yeah, I think the inclination is to think, oh, let me just hire this person temporarily. But they don't have to be temporary, right? Because like Anne said, it's about how much value they're adding. not the work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Ideally, you're hiring this person to come in and add more value to the organization, not to just perform a duty, right? And so from a more sustainable perspective, as the company continues to grow, as you scale, as you 2X your revenue or 2X your operations, having a fractional person that can scale along with you, maybe it's their time commitment, maybe it's the type of value that they can add, right? It can be more beneficial for the organization because now you're not having to go out and try to find somebody full time to fulfill that person, which costs a ton of money. It takes time. You got to train them. Instead, you have this fractional person that you've been working with for X amount of time. You can just continue working with them, right? And when your company is that, I'm just going to use for sake of ease, 1X, and then you 2X the company, right? There's going to be things that are unlocked in that scale, in that multiplier, uh-huh, that the fractional person couldn't do at 1X, right? And so now you're at 2X, and you're like, okay, great, let me loose, because now I can go do those things that I had in my head this whole time, but we weren't ready for as an organization.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you both before we take a quick break. How would you define the difference between like a contractor versus fractional for us, for the audience, like especially with your business, like how would you define the differences between the two?
You want to take that one, Ann?
Sure. I mean, I think that there maybe isn't a lot of difference necessarily. I think the difference really comes more in the intent that you have with the relationship. And it is more about like I said before, it's like, I need somebody to come in and create value, and I need them to hit the ground running. I don't have 30, 60, 90 days for them to come up to speed. I need them to be showing value at, you know, at hour three of the engagement, you know? So I think it's more, along the lines of that. And they aren't necessarily invested. They're invested in the organization and in the results and the outcomes, but they don't necessarily have ownership. So there's a little bit of a fine line or kind of threading a needle there where it's like, I'm really just here to contribute, to offer value, to get you guys where you need to be, but I'm not going to sit at the table like I have a stake in the business necessarily.
Fascinating. Thank you for such.
Yeah. I would add a little bit to that.
Yeah.
I think Anne's right. There's not really much of a difference. Uh-huh. There's a difference in the business owner or the leadership team's mind.
Mm.
Right. Because when you say contractor, immediately I jump to subordinate. Uh-huh. Right. When I say fractional, my mind jumps to executive.
Uh-huh.
Right. And maybe that's a PR thing that the industry has to kind of overcome. Right. Hopefully that changes. But most of the time when people hire a contractor, they're hiring that person to come fulfill a role that's already predefined with metrics, with KPIs, with blah, 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 that they have to perform to. Whereas a fractional, the relationship can be a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more fluid, where they're bringing this person to come in and achieve a result.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe those KPIs have to be determined by that fractional person, right? They have to come in and maybe they're building out a division, for example, right?
I see.
And so how do we measure success in building this division? Well, let me go figure that out, and then I'll come back to you and let you know, right?
Yeah.
Whereas as a contractor, the expectation's different. Like, hey, you need to achieve this.
I'm also just going to throw in, I come from branding and PR space, and, you know, consultant became kind of a dirty word. And it also became very nebulous in a particular way. And with what I found with fractional, it's like a fractional, what a fractional that, you know, like you're really defining how, you know, what you are and how you show up. And it's not so nebulous and sort of random of like consulting. And I think, you could ask the same question. What's the difference, you know, is fractional or consulting different or the same? No, I mean, it is the same. You're consulting. Then you're asking, is consulting and contracting different? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, I mean, it is all very subtle and nuanced, but I do think that it's relevant. Like, we're using this language to try to elevate.
I'd say from an HR perspective, it comes down to the contract that you're signing. Because contract...
I love the point of view.
You could be a contractor and have a W-2 through another organization or directly,
That's
right?
True.
And it has it stated out, and it's maybe more hourly. The consultant could start to get into the value base.
Yeah.
And then fractional, I'd assume that you're driving that conversation.
You know, I think that's an interesting thing that we should maybe pick up on in our next segment.
We'll be right back, y'all.
Curious how illumination sparks innovation?
Join us on the Fitty Podcast, where we dive into leadership, culture, and more.
Tune in bi-weekly on Thursdays on every major platform and find our channel on YouTube and subscribe for more illuminating content. Vibrate higher.
All right, everybody. And we are back with Chris and Anne, and we are talking about fractional forces and how much they can help your business accelerate its success.
And we have the lovely Anne Humes and Chris Chioti here with us, and we cannot wait to dive in more about their partnership and, to Stephanie's point, how they can help businesses like yours. So Anne, you and Chris, you know, you're partnering, offering fractional services. Considering that the term fractional has become more popular, how does your work differ from, you know, other fractional companies offering similar services out there?
I think kind of Chris alluded to this before. I think that what's out there right now are an awful lot of lone wolves trying to figure this out and trying to find a path on their own. And I think what Chris and I are offering is a way to think more holistically across the foundations of the business to say, we've done an analysis of your business. We've looked at it. Here's a strategy to go forward. Yes, you need marketing. And we'll place a marketing, fractional in your organization, knowing that that's not going to necessarily be enough, because you can have a great marketer come in. They can generate thousands of leads. But if you don't have somebody to hand those leads to and close those deals, right, that's just money that you've spent that was wasted. So, this idea that we think about the business from the foundational aspects of what that business is, and place fractionals as needed in places where there are gaps. Mm-hmm. So, kind of looking across it from that perspective, and also, providing, sourcing really strong fractional leaders and executives and resources that have gone through a foundational training course. So they know, so they have a methodology that they can bring to the company. And it's not meant to be cookie cutter.
Yeah.
But it's a way to give them a framework to snap into so they can hit the ground running.
And if I'm not mistaken, Anne, I recall that you have an L&D background, learning and development background. Can you add a little bit more about that? I mean, I'm sure everybody wants to know.
Just put the big under construction across my screen. But we are working on that. But yeah, I have been in corporate training and development for the better part of the last 15 years. So I really, I have the background to really create this, fractional academy to get the resource. It's to get them. I'm not going to teach, somebody who's has a background as a chief financial officer how to be a chief financial officer. I'm going to assume they know how to do that. But I am going to teach them some foundational some foundations that they can bring in as, like I said, as a framework that they can then, snap to when they get to that client and they can hit the ground running. Because, you know, we've thrown around this idea, you know, we're not consultants, we're resultants, because we want to get those results.
I like that. That's a great, I love that. And, right, and that's, great that's segue whole, back I, from the consultant discussion earlier. I love it. Beautiful. Yeah. In what you're saying, I'm really curious, like, as you're describing this sort of both what you're creating organizationally for yourselves, but also what you're able to create for other businesses to tap into. Mm-hmm. When we're thinking about like fractional, the businesses that are most going to benefit from these types of services, like, do y'all have like sort of a sweet spot business, or is it, you know, any organization can work with fractional resources, or there's some that you really recommend to kind of start with? I'm just curious, like, the positioning for that.
Yeah, honestly, we're trying to actually bring fractionals to be a little bit more accessible to smaller businesses. Mm-hmm. I think the inclination right now is, you have to be funded, or you have to have deep pockets to hire a fractional person. And I think that model is just not sustainable, because there's so many people getting into this fractional space. Right, as operators, not as clients. And so for us, the ideal size, couple of owners, right, one or two owners, what I like to say is simple cap table, right? We're not looking to work with businesses that have 15 investors and, you know, shareholders, and there's board of directors and blah, blah, blah. We want to be able to make an impact quickly by interacting and engaging with the decision makers directly. and then as far as size, you know, it could be anywhere from 5 employees, 10 employees, maybe 20 or 50. But I think beyond 50, you're getting to a point where, you know, the company's getting bigger and bigger, and it's a little bit more challenging to work with owners.
I think that makes sense. I mean, when I was doing a lot more fractional work, I was really targeting companies that were like 50 employees or less. And I agree with the owners, like, wanting to just really work directly with the decision makers, because mm-hmm. they're really, and plus, you had mentioned earlier about how you can grow and expand with a company. And there were times that the company might like outgrow. I would help hire a marketing team or help transfer that into something more direct over a period of time. And so it does create a lot of opportunity. You have that insight and then stay on as like an advisor ongoing, you know, from a higher level. And so that's, yeah.
I will also add, like, from a benefit for the individual fractional professional, I find the independence is something, like, the independence to decide what you like, the work you would like to take on, the challenges that you'd like to dive into and learn from, you know. I feel like that's like another added value to the individual.
But your point of view of the disparity in terms of, like, because I remember back in kind of trying to have this conversation maybe before because this is like almost a decade ago, and being a fractional marketing person and knowing, like, I've got to be able to coordinate with technology, and I've got to be able to coordinate with, like, to be with sales, and to be fully successful at a high level strategic level, I have to be able to collaborate with like these other sources. And companies really weren't very open to that, you know, because of the kind of the consultant model, really, of, you know, I hire you, we work together, it's like a secret and it's in private, and, you know, it's basically like you're my lawyer and we're not going to tell any. And I think that what y'all are doing is literally, you're really next leveling it, truly, because it could be lonely. Like, even though you have the independence, the shadow of that is the loneliness of, like, I want partners and collaborators, and I want to be able to, like, bring in the resources. And so I love y'all's vision of, like, let's not just, you know, show up as like one individual, but let's truly, like, identify what are the fractional needs of the organization. I think that's a really brilliant way to look at it. And then also bring that continuity to the resources by adding the training and the kind of, the quality, I guess, development of that. So,
yeah. And one other thing that we'll be offering is actually coaching for those those leaders or owners or decision makers. So really helping them kind of refine their thinking about how their business is operating. And I think that that's another place that I think sets us apart as well, because that's so important, right? You can't, you know, you just can't have a business grow and explode if the owner's mindset isn't coming along with that. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about
definitely
that.
Definitely creates challenges.
Well, I mean, with your exciting fractional business model, what are your predictions about fractional work? Like, could it potentially replace or compete with the employee-employer norm?
That's a really good question. My inclination is no, that I think that it's a both and kind of solution here. And it's a matter of just right-sizing it as the business shifts and moves, right? The one thing that I think everybody wants is stability and no change. And we all know that everything is changing all the time. So it's just a matter of just kind of what's the configuration for things right now that makes sense, and we'll address and reevaluate, you know, going forward.
I'm curious if, just for people out there who haven't really explored fractional resources, what are some maybe things, if they're out there kind of doing their own research and Googling in their area or whatever, what are some maybe important questions they should be asking, or kind of attributes they should be looking for when they're thinking about bringing in a fractional resource to help them next level their own business? What would you recommend?
I would tell them, if they're bringing somebody in to solve a specific problem, the first question I would ask is, have you done this before? As an owner who is kind of stuck and you're up against this challenge where you pulled your hair out because you can't figure it out, finally you bring this person in to come help you, the inclination is, that's my saving grace. That's the person that's going to help fix everything, right? And what ends up happening is they get so excited about the prospect of their pain or their challenge being resolved that they don't think to evaluate whether that person is the right fit or not. So if I'm a business owner, the first question I'm going to ask is, have you solved this problem before? And if you haven't, it's okay if you haven't, but tell me about the types of problems you've solved. That's the first question I would ask. And then from there, some criteria that I would use to evaluate if a fractional person's a good fit for your organization is, how do they view the business, the industry, just the overall landscape of where you want your company to head? Right? Are you in alignment? Because one degree of alignment today can result in many degrees of alignment in the future. And so if that person doesn't align with how you think about business, where you see the industry heading, then it's going to be doomed for failure. Not to be pessimistic, but
no,
you know, I've seen that happen before. And I've experienced personally myself, just not evaluating clients well enough. Right. And then you go down this path, you know, on the opposite side for fractionals. If you're trying to evaluate clients, make sure you know that you are aligned in business first. And then there's also the personal element. Do you like working with this person? Do they just rub you the wrong way from time to time? You know, those are all things that they're not a big deal right now. But in 6 months, when you're, you know, neck deep in the engagement, those can become challenges for both you and the client.
I think those are all great insights, especially the alignment that resonates with me deeply. It's what I'm always trying to help people do, is find that alignment. So that's great.
It's really important to take the time out to evaluate on both ends whether or not it's going to be a great fit. I like that.
It's important.
Yeah. Well, we're going to transition to the myths, misconception, or a matter of fact. So just to remind you both of the question here. And with myth, misconception, or matter of fact, I'm going to ask a question, and we're all going to share our opinion, whether we think it's a myth, it's completely false, misconception, there's some truth to it, or matter of fact, it's definite. So.
And we might all disagree.
Yeah. And let's like, let's do like maybe like one of three sentences, like rationale explaining like why we think so. Okay. Myth, misconception, or matter of fact, is hiring a fractional professional just a temporary fix for businesses that cannot afford full-time work?
Who wants to go first? Go for it, Chris. What'd you say?
Myth, absolutely myth.
Well, tell us.
You're hiring a fractional to come in and solve a problem, make an impact, but that doesn't mean that you can't afford to hire a full-time employee in that role. It just means that actually I'm on a client engagement right now that a client has hired a fractional person to come in specifically to manage a joint venture, and then that person is going to be backfilling their that role with a full-time employee, right? So actually, this is a good example of myth.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Anne?
I have such a hard time with like it's definitely this. I would say sometimes it is a temporary fix, but I think most of the time it is a right sizing for where the business is in order to get the business to either the next stage of growth or the stage of exiting, right? So it I don't think it always has to do with the affordability of hiring somebody. It has more to do with like, what is the right size for this right now? Hiring somebody so I don't know, what does that make that? A misconception? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just, I think it's a gray area. Maybe it's something that we can work on illuminating.
Hmm. Well, so far we have one myth, one misconception. Stephanie, where are you?
I think it's a misconception. I think there are some people that make that choice based on affordability, but I think that there's so many different reasons why you might want to bring in a fractional resource that to just assume it's because of one thing or another is just limiting, I guess. So I just think that there's a lot more to explore there, and that's why I think it's a misconception. But I do think that there's some truth to it too. Mm. So,
well, I too believe it's a misconception. So I think there's some companies that are fiscally responsible and, you know, maybe at the time that's all they could afford. Maybe it's the best value to bring forth a fractional employee. And there's some companies that, like, maybe there's people issues or challenges. People are unpredictable. So maybe you need someone to step in for interim. So I think there's a myriad of reasons why fractional work could be the best idea, not just because they're unable to afford actual full-time talent. But yeah, thank you so much for participating. So it sounds like 75% of us believe it's a misconception. 25% is a strong myth. Thanks, Chris.
He was the one with the actual example, though. So I don't know.
I know he had like a real time. He literally had a real time. You're right about that.
So maybe Chris is right, but we all could be right. We'll eliminate.
It's a matter of perspective.
It is a matter of perspective.
Chris had the hard.
I don't like to judge things as right and wrong. Just sort of, does it work or not
it
work?
Is.
And for me, this worked beautifully.
So, as we're wrapping up today, thank you both again for sharing your professional insights and more about the work that you're doing in the fractional world. And we're both looking forward to seeing like how things move forward with your venture. Is there anything that you'd like to?
We're gonna do takeaways.
Yeah, we're gonna do takeaways. Is there anything you would like to leave with our audience? Maybe starting with Anne.
I think the thing is for business owners to be thinking about how can they increase their freedom from their business? And is a fractional resource the way to do that, right? And that freedom can be financial freedom, freedom of their time, their purpose, and also in their relationships. So, you know, I want to see more business owners kind of shifting their mind to like, what will give me that freedom? It doesn't mean necessarily that they'll be working less, but they might be working on higher level order type things. So, and that's really where I think a fractional can come in and just really accelerate that process for them. So that's what I want to leave with.
What about you, Chris? What's your takeaway?
Yeah, actually, what I have to say is supplement to Anne. For business owners and for fractionals, for the business owner, as you consider what you need to achieve freedom, consider that in your company, in your business, the best way to do that is to begin down this path of transferring authority. Right. And I say transfer authority, it's different than delegation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I hear the internet gurus say, delegate. You have a thing, you know, you have all these things to do, just delegate those. And I think that that's wrong. I do think it's wrong, going back to right or wrong. Telling an owner to delegate doesn't absolve them of the accountability of it. Right. What ends up happening is you have this list of things to do that you're handing off to somebody. They go do them. And when they come back, you're still in charge of that list.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
But when you transfer authority, you're not giving that person the list. You're telling that person to go make the list themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a business owner and I'm thinking about how can I have more freedom for my business, that's the number one mindset shift that needs to be made is how can I transfer the authority of X to that person, of why to this person. And then that way, that will free them up and from the day to day and allow them to think more kind of bigger picture, high level of the business. Conversely, on the fractional side, if you are coming in helping a client, be sure that your engagement with the client has some transfer of authority. If you can't come in and operate as a leader in that business, then the level of impact that you can make will be severely diminished, right? And by the end of that engagement, whatever you've come in to do, you will have felt a little bit stifled, maybe a little bit held back. Maybe the client will blame you. Oh, you didn't achieve X result, right? And in my experience, looking back at some of the engagements that didn't go so well for me, that was the one point of failure, was that I didn't feel like I had the authority, nor did I assume the authority on behalf of the client.
That was illuminating.
Yes, it was.
Oh my gosh.
On both points.
Yeah.
Really powerful.
Let me say this. My takeaway. Value. Thank you both. Like looking at it from like not what you're doing, but the value that you're adding. And then Chris, I'm just going to add in the transfer of authority. My mind is blown because when you explained that, the difference between delegation and transfer authority, I got chills. So that was my takeaway. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm right on that. I love things that are just so intentionally stated to mean what you want them to mean. And I like the way that you described the distinction between delegation. I actually think that there's a space for delegation that makes sense, but to know that you're delegating versus actually transferring that authority is very critical. I love the way that you said that. And then also resultants. I'm just going to
resultancy. Yes, resultants.
I like it.
You would like it. The branding, your marketing.
Like, it did hit me. I'm like, oh, I love words. I like making up words. Okay. So this is fabulous, y'all. It's like.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it and feel that we've learned so much from you. Thank you again.
Absolutely. And thanks, everybody, for watching. Sure. We really appreciate y'all, too. Like, subscribe, share, love.
And if you're interested in learning more, feel free to find Anne and Chris.
That's right. We will have all of their ways to access them in the show notes. So we'll see everybody soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our show. Show us your support by following us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
You can also find us on Castus at fromelimination2innovation.castus.com. If you love our show, share it with your friends and coworkers too. Let's all work together to help businesses
vibrate higher.